So which mic? Well, I don't need these mics because it's this mic here on the computer, is that?
Yeah, it'll be the one on the computer.
Okay, I'll figure that out. Okay, I think everyone's here. Everyone here is going to attend.
1, 2, 3. Hello. 4, 5, 6, 7. Excellent. Okay, welcome everyone. It's 7:01 according to this clock. We'll call the city council meeting to order for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. And I will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, and I also must state that due to the governor's declared emergency, we are doing a Zoom meeting. All votes will be by roll call. That's why you see on several of these items, we list them as, like, for example, 1A and B, so it's less motions. And when Lisa calls a roll, I prefer if you say yes or no, just so it's easier for her to understand. Thank you very much. Lisa, please.
Polk is absent. Tranzier?
Present.
Milshewski?
Here.
Clocher?
Here.
Bunkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Here.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Awesome, thank you. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Excellent. We do have one presentation, and I'm going to step out of the way, slide to the left, slide to the right. What is that from? That's one of those. Everybody clap your hands.
Fly.
Yes, anyway, yes. I'm going to slide to the side, and I'm going to turn over to Bear and Robbie Hart from the police department. I think, Robbie, this is your idea, wasn't it?
Yes.
He came up with a fantastic idea, and I'm going to let them all tell you about it. It's a super, super idea.
Chief Jensen, and was going over officer wellness and talking about new ideas that we can do for officers in the PD and Publix, and I thought of an idea that come from my hometown. During the Christmas time, we do Shop with a Cop, which is great for the kids and the families, and I started thinking about Thanksgiving time, and you know, a lot of families staying home or senior centers, not really being able to go anywhere. And I thought of the idea that the police department, as officers and staff, could raise money to provide meals, Thanksgiving Day meals, for local residents. And we deliver these meals to them. We were very lucky that Upper Crust was able to do the meals for us. We ended up doing 45 meals. 45 meals. All from donations from our police department and staff. Obviously this year, we came up with the idea, what, a month ago?
It was a month ago.
A month ago. So next year, I hope to double it, maybe triple it. And you know, it was kind of fun coming through it, because at one point, our Chief Jensen said that he could actually cook the meals if he wanted to. And but just coming up with the idea, I thought it was good, and to help out, you know, any of our citizens during this time, obviously because of COVID and what's going on with a lot of families, and I thought it was really, really, you know, something to come up with and something we can do for Thanksgiving time.
So as far as everything with 2020, I don't need to explain kind of what has
been going on, but the outreach that we've gotten as a police department from whether it's been local businesses or whether it's been residents in town, the city council, everything else has been nothing but positive for us. And we've been super blessed. And it was one of the things too that Robbie was bringing up is how can we give back and what groups do we need to give back to? And as we looked at it, obviously we've got a lot of seniors in town. So kind of the core groups that we focused at to incorporate these 45 meals are going to be mostly seniors, but also those that due to medical ailment, maybe it's not safe for them to even leave this Thanksgiving. Or unfortunately, maybe financially they just can't string it together. So just to see the support of our staff, we never really mentioned a number at first, but I was thinking, hey, how cool would it be to do 25 meals? And all of a sudden 45, and obviously now we're already planning towards next year. So tomorrow, we've got even a lot of our officers coming out of their off time, volunteering their time to help deliver these meals. And it's just been kind of just our way of saying thank you to the community, because we've been super blessed in 2020 as an agency. So.
And, you know, majority of people support us. And I think this is just a small token for us to support them in a very small way from our police department. So, yeah.
It's fantastic. Now, if anyone has questions, you can ask them. You can run the meeting here for a while.
The mayor wants to know if anyone has any questions. Awesome. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. That's fantastic. Thank you both.
That's awesome. Thank you. That's fantastic.
I love that. Yeah.
See you.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Now, I have a couple items under Mayor's report. Of course, items that are not written. But then I also am going to ask that we move item number 5 up to the top of the written Mayor's report, just because Carrie has some input on that. And because she is a shared employee, one of the advantages of sharing employees, they can bring things to both us and Oswego. Well, she happens to be presenting the same item on Oswego's agenda later on tonight. So that's the fantastic part of these Zoom meetings. It's like Star Trek, it can be in multiple places. So the first thing I want to talk about is how excellent the weekend went with the tree lighting, the fireworks, and the drive-by Santa. And I think the tree lighting, where people sat in their cars. What do you think of that, Mr. Plocher? Was that a great idea or what?
It was a great idea you came up with, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that very much. Excellent. But Tim, your team did a fantastic job. Everyone had a great time. And the weather you brought was just fantastic, so I appreciate it. Anything you want to add, Tim?
No, it was a great event and looking forward, hopefully, to expand on it next year.
Yes, and I like the idea of separate days for fireworks. That gave people something extra to do, so that was good. Thank you. So, as I said, I'm going to move item number five, the purchase of two message boards, up, unless anyone objects, so Carrie can be available for the Oswego Village Board meeting. So without objection, I'm looking for a motion for the purchase of two message boards and an ordinance authorizing the Fifth Amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year, and a resolution authorizing the purchase of two message boards with a radar option in the amount of grand total not to exceed $44,500. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion.
Okay, I think I heard Bill Schusky. And I heard Seaver. Did I hear Seaver?
You heard Seaver.
Thank you, Seaver. That's fantastic. Okay, so my understanding is, and Carrie can clarify this, the two of these combined, maximum will be $44,500. And the city will have a maximum contribution of just under $14,000. The rest will come from a FEMA grant, though the city will have to front the money, and it could be a few months before we get the reimbursement. And this will help with traffic direction, and we do have them there. We've got the radar guns, correct? But not the license plate readers. Be very clear, not license plate readers. Just the radar guns to say, hey, slow down, you, that means you. So I'll take questions or comments from any alderman, please. Mr. Funkhauser, please.
So you said that there's about $14,000 cost from our side, is that correct?
That would be the maximum, correct?
It's the max. I know the radar and the striping is not something that can come back and be used under the COVID dollars that we received, but can the balance of that be covered under the funds we received through the prior Cures or CARES Act?
Well, could be, but we're looking to get a grant for this and we're expecting to get it, so this would be additional monies.
But if it's not covered, would we be using the Cures money for that?
Yes, it would be.
The answer is yes, it would be.
It would be eligible.
Yes, if it does not get reimbursed. That's a great question. Our understanding is without being certain, it's a fairly strong likelihood that we will get reimbursed.
Now, my follow-up is, if it was not for the FEMA dollars, would we be purchasing these?
Well, the chief had talked to me about having these in the budget. Is that correct, Chief? We talked about these was it for next year or later?
That is correct. So we looked and I believe it's either FY22 or FY23. We had it in our capital budget to purchase one of them.
Was that for this year or you said?
No, FY23.
Okay. So the comment was we had in the budget for one of these, but it was going to be another year and a half, not FY22, but FY23. So it probably been in the summer of 22. So
we're looking to fund these on capital. We have a different route that we can fund these to.
Yes, we'd be getting two, if we get the grant money, we'd be getting two for less than we would have had to pay for one.
And I'd like to ask, what is the intended use for the radar?
Well, it's to put it on your street, because I've been told you drive pretty damn fast. But aside from that, I don't know, I'll let the chief answer that question.
Thank you.
So we would utilize the trailers to conduct additional speed studies. Utilize the trailers to provide the safety messages along 34, 47, any other street we have in town, like we have maybe a speeding issue, stop sign issue, whatever it may be. We would use it for all special events with Tim and his staff. We'd use it for, if we end up going into the strategic national stockpile for the COVID vaccination, we would be using it as a traffic direction tool to assist with that. So I feel we could use this one of these trailers, or both of the trailers, almost weekly in different areas of our community. And whatever message we choose to put out could be safety, could be just a general message.
Anything else, Mr. Funkhauser?
No, thank you for that. I just wanted, so the radar option is not to provide people with automatic speeding tickets. It's just to give them notification and for us to use the data that we get, just like the other radar signs we have, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Great question. I will never support electronic tickets as far as just automatically sending those. It's just not something I'll support. So that's a great question. Other aldermen have questions? Roll call. Oh, this requires six votes because it's a budget amendment. And I forgot to ask you about that. Maybe I did. Anyway, six votes, please.
Lotcher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Garulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Awesome, thank you. Carrie, move on to your next meeting. Thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, you guys as well.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. I gotta figure out where the heck I was. Okay. Oh, back to Mayor's Report number one. I was thinking we were moving along real well, but I forgot we skipped some important things. So, the item number one, I'm looking for a motion 2020-88 for the intent to issue alternate revenue bonds for 651 Prairie Point Drive and adjacent lot 2, and an ordinance calling for a public hearing for December 8th concerning the intent of the City Council of the United City of Yorkville to sell not to exceed $8.25 million in general obligation alternate revenue bonds, and for an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation alternate revenue bonds in an amount not to exceed $8.25 million pursuant to Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act of Illinois. Is there a motion?
So moved.
By Mr. Plocher.
Second.
Second by, was that Mr. Seaver?
That was me.
Okay, Mr. Seaver, thank you. Man, you are out there all over the place. Okay, so this is a follow-up to the last meeting, the discussion we had, and again, this is not an authorization to issue bonds. We aren't to that point yet, but this is the next step in the follow-up of the last meeting we had. And this sets a timeline. This would set the public hearing in case members of the public have comments. And we have, after this passes, if we pass this tonight, I think we have 3 years. Is that correct, Rob? Are you out there, Rob?
Yes, I'm here. 3 years, correct.
Okay, thank you. So that is just the high level. Maybe that's the detail you need to know, but that's the high level detail. Bart, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, the City Council will have multiple opportunities to ratchet down the actual amount of the bond issuance over the next few months at minimum. So we have to take city public input during the public hearing. And then we actually are supposed to do a bond ordinance kind of on the night of a bond bid opening where we can make other decisions to ratchet down. So I try to map out the decision-making process, both with the space needs analysis that we're going to consider later on in this agenda, and the steps of this process to show you that there are multiple opportunities for us to make decisions on the bond amount. And I realized, based on last week's conversation, or last meeting's conversation, that you may want to push back the start of the process, or you may be okay with it, move forward with it, and then choose not to issue the bonds at least until we've made some decisions about what the building is going to look like and how much it's going to cost. So we have a lot of flexibility here over the next couple months, depending on what the City Council is comfortable with.
Questions and or comments, please.
don't see any. Make sure. Okay, roll call, please.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Bunkhauser?
No.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Franzier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. So we will have a public hearing on December 8th. Okay, next we have the Local Cure Economic Support Program update, and I'll give the nutshell version of it, and if Bart or Aaron want to add anything. The last meeting we talked about this and discussed this, and one of the great questions was, can we front fund this? So the challenge with that right now is we found out there's no money available. There might be more money available, but we will not know until December at the earliest. We think we'll know in December early. But right now there's no money available. So my recommendation is let's not front fund it until we know that there's money available. And Bart and Aaron or Lynn, you understand this better than I do, but did I get that accurate?
Correct. That is accurate. So right now, the funding is all split up into the regions. Region 2 that we are in has zero funding available. All of the grants have been awarded, but they expect to redistribute the funds from the other regions of the state on December 1st. So we submitted everything. We submitted all the grant paperwork, and we're just waiting to see if any more funds come to this region.
So we will entertain any questions or comments. I see Mr. Frieders.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, with all due respect, I would prefer we front fund it immediately, and then if we get reimbursed the $200,000, we also give that away.
Thank you for your comments. Other comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
I'm in agreement with Alderman Frieders. Of the money, we were reimbursed $600,000. I say this is an opportunity for us to help the community.
Other comments?
Can I make a motion to front fund it, Ben?
I don't know. Can we do it if it's not on the agenda? Let me get clarification, Mr. Peterson, then I'll go to you. Where's my attorney? Can we?
Right here, and because it's not on the agenda as an action item, I would recommend that we present a motion at the December 8th meeting allowing to front fund this money so that we're sure that we're in sync.
And let me get back to some questions in a moment. I saw Mr. Peterson's hand.
Yes, sir. I agree with Alderman Frieders and Alderman Funkhauser. Do we have any other, fee freezes or anything like that to help out the local businesses currently? I know there's other municipalities that have things like that going on. Do we have any of that going on?
So, yes, we have some, not necessarily everyone, but for example, some of the liquor fees, I've told some of the businesses, you know, if they can't afford it, don't pay it. I know on late fees and water, we've not been charging late fees and water. I don't know if there's any other business fees specifically that come to mind, but those are two of the biggest ones that I know we've done.
What about new fees coming up for 2021, like waiving some of those or discounting?
So that's a great question. Actually, I've discussed that with staff, and I've discussed that with Kathy just real recently. That is definitely something under consideration. What I would like to do, and you know, you're all welcome to come up with ideas if you disagree. I'd like to see how things progress through the winter and early spring. Our fiscal year, for example, doesn't start until May 1st.
That's
it's possible that by then some of these businesses will be up and running full steam ahead, but it's definitely something I want to consider.
But I don't have a real, honestly, I don't have a real clear plan right now because we're not to next April yet.
Yeah, I think Alderman Funkhauser brings up a good point when he mentions the amount that we were reimbursed. Surprise! While at the same time experiencing a rather successful year in sales tax collection. I don't think it makes sense to wait until it gets worse. We already know that local businesses are hurting, and those who are actually following the government's recommendations as far as the shutdown are being punished along with those who are attempting to stay open during the pandemic. So it would make sense to actually move on this, and I understand that we want to get our ducks in a row, but we got 600 grand for no reason, and we don't need it. So I think right now that 200K could do a lot of good. I'm not saying the whole 600. I know we got bills to pay and buildings to build and all that other stuff, but now is the time to actually do something. Let's support Yorkville, front fund that program using the same outline that they have for the Oswego program, and do it.
So I want to make sure I understand here. Is there any concern that the money will not be reimbursed?
No.
From you?
Not at all.
Mr. Funkhauser, I see you shaking your head.
If it doesn't get reimbursed, we're still not anything. That $600,000 that we got, that was a reimbursement for the CARES Act. I think this money should be spent for COVID-related items. I think this is appropriate.
Okay. I saw Ms. Milshewski. I thought I saw you. Do you have a thought on this at all?
Well, I was just kind of what Alderman Frieder said. Oswego has a program that, depending what kind of business you are, you can get up to, it's through the village of Oswego, a business can get up to $20,000. So, you know, there's like a $5,000 grant money for, they're giving people, if you qualify for your rent or your mortgage, there's another, you know, it's a program, the max is $20,000.
So are you suggesting...
How are they doing it?
Oswego was actually not gifted. They received the grant, the economic support grant. So they had previously submitted in early October, and the state did let them know that they received this economic support grant. So we applied last week. We reached out to the state to see if it was possible to front fund this program. They said there was no penalty to do so. However, we were running the risk of not receiving the funds.
Did Oswego receive 600 grand?
I don't know what they applied for. I think they applied for $250,000 for this
program. I meant like the reimbursement. Did Oswego get the 600 grand from the state for the hours worked by the police department in March and April?
I believe they received more, but I don't know that exact amount. 1.2.
Okay, so...
1.2 million is what we're understanding they received.
Wow, okay. Well, I would like to spend $200,000 duplicating the program that Oswego is already rolling out using federal funds, using funds that we already have in the general fund that we received by surprise, even though our sales tax is doing really, really well, and there are people locally that are hurting. I would like to spend that money now.
Okay. So, Ms. Milshewski, you seem to be in agreement with that?
I'd like to look into something like that. Okay. You know, maybe model it off of theirs. You know, like some businesses, if you're not in the food industry, you won't get as much. It is geared more to, you know, businesses that are hurting more, such as restaurants and bars. You know, they can get the max up to 20. Other businesses, you know, have reduced amounts. Maybe you would just get your rent to 5,000. It's a cap of 5,000. So maybe we need to look at it and give it a try.
Okay, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3. Mr. Transier, I'm just trying to find you all here on the screen. Do you have any thoughts?
I agree with everyone else. As much as I hate to say this, I have some confidence that the state of Illinois will actually fund this, despite their incapability of funding most everything else. So I think they've demonstrated that they're behind something like this. So I think if we do front $200,000, the state is in a good position to reimburse the city of Yorkville.
Okay, thank you. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Mr. Plocher, I don't know if I've heard from you. Sorry, I'm just trying to give you all a shot.
Yeah, it's something I'd look into.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Peterson, I don't remember. Did you comment on this or not? I'm losing track.
I did. I agree. I think we should. I think the city has built up a lot of nice restaurants and local businesses that we'd like to see stay intact, and I think this could really help them out. And I agree. I mean, we had the $600,000. So even if we don't get reimbursed by the state, I think this is money well spent to kind of preserve our local businesses.
Okay. And then I think the last one is Mr. Terulis Seaver. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm at this point in saying that I think we should go ahead with it reluctantly, but I really think that the pluses in doing it just outweigh the negatives, so I'm willing to go with it.
That sounds good. Okay, we will bring it back for the December 8th meeting. Thank you all for your input on that. That's good. Good input. Okay, well, and a follow-up on that, along those lines, just to date, Aaron and Lynn have done a tremendous job, and I know we brought this up the last meeting, and this is how we're able to help some of the local businesses. But between the different state grants, this does not include any federal grants, but between the state grants, they have the big one, the big two, these other ones, the CCRG, the BSP, I don't know what those stand for, but so far, businesses in Yorkville, this is Yorkville City Limits, thanks a large part to Aaron and Lynn, because some of these businesses wouldn't even know about it. If you look at the reports, each time these reports come out, Yorkville, if they're not at the top, they're right at the top of the number of awards. And this is compared to much larger municipalities. Yorkville businesses have received 40 awards, almost $1.4 million. So, and that's also the council, because just like you're expressing tonight, an interest and a desire to help the local businesses. $1.4 million, there's still some rolling in, and I just heard tonight we've got some more money we're going to be adding to that. So, you know, the staff in Lynn have done a fantastic job, and all of you have to really help the local businesses. And I'm sure you do, I know I do, I hear all the time from these businesses, that, especially the ones who have locations in multiple towns, that Yorkville's by far the front runner, the leader in helping out these businesses. So thank you very much on that. And Lynn and Aaron, thank you. There's some great awards here. So, and then Bart, I think, had something too he wanted
to
add.
Yeah, just to get into a little bit more of the detail of what the mayor just announced. So we did get notified yesterday afternoon that we have six additional downstate small business grants. So this is the one that we had to partner with the county on and then have the backing funds for it. So Fast Burrito for $25,000, Sunfields for $25,000, the Idea Pros for $25,000, Taekwondo Korea Center for $25,000, Treasure Breads for $16,500, Ginger and Soul for $14,500. So when you add those up to our eight, we've already received notice on a couple months ago, we are still less than our $400,000 total outlay that we had entered into the intergovernmental agreement with the county, so that's secure for the city. And then additionally, Aaron has heard from the state that as they're processing the award paperwork for those first round grants, that they are actually seeking to close out the grants at the moment they send us the check, so which then negates the need for the county intergovernmental agreement. So that's still in process, but that's, you know, even more secure for us and good news.
Excellent. Thank you. So any questions or comments on that report? Excellent, thank you all. Okay, that was item number two. So now we're on to item number three, the Prairie Point Space Needs Analysis Programming and Cost Estimate Phase One Proposal from Cordigan Clark. Is there a motion? Now I'll say this, if you don't want to go on tonight, that's fine. If you want to wait till December 8th, okay, or if you want to, if you're comfortable voting on it, but let's at least get a motion in a second to discuss it, please.
So moved.
Motion.
Okay, I think I heard Mr. Peterson and then Mr. Seaver Terulis, I believe. So we have this on the table, and I know there were some questions that Mr. Funkhauser had emailed to Bart. Bart, do you want to address any of those items?
Yeah, I can. I did send them to everybody shortly before the meeting, but just for record-keeping purposes. Let me pull up the answers here, and I can summarize them. So in general, what is included in the packet is a short three-page proposal from Cordigan Clark. They did not detail any cost internal to their lump sum fee of $33,000, and the city didn't ask for any at the time. As far as the scope, generally, we did ask for them to do a space needs analysis, a programming layout of the building, so we kind of know which departments go where and how things need to be renovated, and help us get through the decision-making process of what renovations need to be complete. And then when we've made those decisions as a group, to attach some cost estimates so that we can then proceed forward to design work, drawing work, all the detailed architectural plans that need to be done in order to bid out the renovations. And so what we have now, we consider that a phase one, just covers the space needs analysis, the programming layout, and then the cost estimates for the building. And then everything else that will take us from drawing to bid and then construction will be discussed at a later date. It's our intent, the chief, the mayor, and I have talked about kind of the process over the next year. And the chief, having gone through this in another town recently, said that it was very important for us to have regular running updates to the city council. So similar to the fiscal year 21 budget update memo that we have done, we are seeking to put just a recurring agenda item under the mayor's report so that we can have time to ask questions, solicit feedback, and the city council can be full participants in the process during the public meeting. And we did ask Cordigan Clark to do a formal presentation towards the end of the process so that any last minute decisions could be made and the city council would have a chance to debate, discuss, get questions answered, and then formally vote on it so that we can then proceed towards kind of a phase two process prior to renovations. So the question was posed, did we discuss or consider a steering committee? And the mayor, the chief, and I did discuss this. We didn't think it was necessary because it was renovation focused, and we figured between the city council updates that was going to be sufficient. And that we're on a relatively tight timeline, at least as far as hoping to move in there within a few months to a year. And then the last question was if there was a breakdown between Cordigan, who's our contract holder, and McLaren, who's the subcontractor, the sub-consultants that the chief has worked with in a previous town and likes their consultants and what they can do for public safety. They didn't provide that initially. We did ask them, and they did break it out for this first phase one proposal as $28,000 for McLaren and then $5,000 for Cordigan. So in future contracts and phases, we would expect that to be flipped as more of the actual architectural drawings and operational issues are vetted and then drawn out for bid. So that's the summary of Alderman Funkhauser's questions and our answers. And I'm happy to take any questions that anybody has on those.
Any councilman? Nope. I see Ms. Milshewski.
Not necessarily a question, just kind of a concern. Reading this, I'm surprised we're using a space needs analysis from 2006. It's 14 years old. I think things have changed in that 14 years, so I was kind of surprised we would refer back to something so old. So well, just a comment.
Yeah, it was something that I think we felt it was important to take in the input that we had already given and gone through the formal process, even though it was 15 years ago, and at least have some acknowledgement of what's changed. And then, frankly, if there's pieces that have already been thought through and are still valid, then we're not going through that process again and hopefully not paying for it a second time. So I think that was just an effort to kind of say, here's where we've been, and recognizing that and then trying to move forward while minimizing the cost.
And a follow-up on that, Bart and the department heads and Chief Jensen, they're giving input on this.
Chief Jensen just went through this process maybe 5 years ago with Oswego, or the beginning. The whole process ended about 3 years ago. So he's using that same template to update here. And when they do these studies, they're going to look at the baseline, and they're also going to be taking input from the staff. That's where they get the data. A lot of it is from the staff. So I understand what you're saying, but that's a baseline, plus they're using data they gather from the staff. So they're not just taking the 2005 information and plugging that in. It's a combination of the different data points.
Thank you. Did you
have other questions, Ms. Milshewski?
Nope.
Did you go for a walk tonight?
I did. Can't you tell?
I wasn't going to mention that.
Yeah.
Other aldermen have questions. Mr. Transier, are you raising your hand or just scratching?
I haven't made up my mind yet.
Okay. I think I saw Mr. Funkhouse right below you, at least on my screen.
I do have a couple comments or thoughts. So I know that the staff has gone through and looked at their staffing projections and the what they expect to be growth for the next 20 years, or the term of what we would expect this building to be used for. Is that something that's going to be approved by council with the proposed staffing need and levels? Because that's a very important part to getting this going and understanding how we're going to be programming the building. So that would be my thought, is in the first step, are we going to look at that staffing and have council input on it?
Well, we will be giving updates at all the meetings. We weren't anticipating a final vote on the staffing recommendations. So the I guess the answer is we'll be giving updates, but I wasn't looking at doing a final vote to say, okay, before we pay them the bill, the council agrees with these staffing requirements. I think Bart had some comments as well.
I would say that would be a necessary component of the planning process if we were looking to size the building, like adding on to it, or if we were building it from scratch. But with the bulk space being what it is, I think the programming part of it is probably going to be more important, because that's going to then, you know, change the variable of the renovation costs. And so, you know, we're not necessarily going to say, you know, we need to plan for 20 years of growth, and we need to add on to the building, or we need to combine these areas so that we have more cubicle space to be able to hold future staff members. I think that's only going to be a minor component of it. So when Jim and I had talked about his staffing study, which he's already done, and I think reviewed with the Public Safety Committee, we didn't think it was necessary to have something formally in front of City Council, just because it's a minor part of the process, in my opinion.
I disagree with it being minor, because the whole programming is how many staff can work within that space and how do we program around that staff. So my next point, and the mayor, you mentioned this, we're going to be getting updates as a council. So there's no input other than these bi-weekly discussions. It seems like this is just going to be presented to us and we're going to kind of move on from it as it moves along. That's one of my concerns I have that's being presented, is it's staff and the administration are moving this through. There's no council input, really.
Well, again, we're not going to have a formal committee. We're going to give updates, but no different than Mr. Funkhauser, no different than the prior discussion we had on the local cure support. We had some thoughts, the council gave their input, and we're adjusting to that. But to again, this is my opinion, and obviously you can disagree with it, but to add another committee when we can update the city council generally twice a month and get input that way, it seemed like it was a little redundant. So that's why we're choosing to do it this way.
Which is fine. I just want to make certain that the council has its input and it's being heard, because, as you know, we only have one meeting in December. If they start, and this is a 68-week process, we do lose a significant amount of the time frame in there. And then my last comment that I have is regarding the contract itself.
this is a point I brought up before where I thought that McLaren should be its own contract under the city, separate from CCA. Seeing the scope that is allocated to McLaren of $28,000 out of 33 reinforces my point that McLaren should not be under CCA, that they have the lion's share of this contract and should be an independent contract for the city, and then CCA should have their own. I think I would like us to look at splitting the contracts, or at least flipping who is the primary for this phase. If it changes later when we get to phase two, but I do think that these should be split contracts so that McLaren answers to the city directly, not to CCA.
Thank you. Regarding, again, your previous comment about input from the council, I do want to also point out, I think you had emailed Bart a list of 6 or 7 questions, and he did respond to all those, I believe, did he not?
He did, yes.
Yeah, and so again, you have that opportunity and option too. I don't think anyone is suggesting input's not welcome. I think there's the process that we want to try to move this forward and keep you all updated, accept input, but not get bogged down in extra committees. So, thank you. Any other comments or questions?
I'd like to be a part of the committee. Just always wanted to be on one, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. I'll make you part of the committee when we have our city council meetings.
Thanks, Doug.
You are more than welcome. Hey, Joel, I have a question for you. Maybe 5 minutes ago, I thought I saw your mugshot go sideways. Was that something you did, or was that something at our side? There, right there. What the heck is that? That was you.
No.
Okay. Thank you. It really freaked me out there for a moment.
My work here is done. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. Other questions or comments? Siever, did you have anything?
No comment.
Okay. No other comments or questions? We'll do a roll call, please.
Chiroulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Oh.
Motion carries.
Could you clarify Mr. Funkhauser's vote, please?
It was
I'm sorry, I heard Mr. Funkhauser vote no.
Thank you. I couldn't hear it cut out. Okay, we're on to item 4. Wow, we're rolling along here. Okay, so this item, this is going to take a lot of discussion, but not till December 8th. I'm actually looking for a motion to table the tax levy until December 8th.
So moved.
I heard Milshewski and Plotcher, I believe. And this requires a roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Plotcher?
Yes.
Breeders?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chiroulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And at that December 8th meeting, Rob will have the most current numbers for new construction from the county. And that's why we're trying to wait as late as we can to capture those extra dollars. Okay, item 5, we moved up and passed, and I appreciate your support on that. Wow, that's it for the initial mayor's report. Now we have a Public Works Committee report. Mr. Plotcher, are you ready?
I am, sir.
Thank you.
PW 2020
2023-64, Grand Reserve Unit 1. Make a motion to authorize the release of the remaining performance security, Platte River Bond, number 414-24197.
Second! Was that Mr. Frieders? I wasn't quite clear on that. And this is for the section, or one of the sections, that backs up to the intersection of Route 34 and Bristol Ridge Road. Any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Yes!
Peterson?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yep.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier? Clocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clocher.
PW 2020-65, Apple Tree Court Water Main Replacement. Make a motion to approve Apple Tree Court Water Main Replacement Professional Service Agreement. Design, engineering, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
I heard a second from Mr. Frieders. This is for approximately $25,000, it was right at the threshold. So staff thought it'd just be best to bring it here. And this project is for 2021, correct?
It is.
Excellent. And here's the nice thing about this. We're gonna be doing the water main, but we're also doing the road on top of it. So even though that doesn't show up in the road to better roads number, that is additional roadway that we will be improving. So just something to keep in mind, additional roads, so that's exciting. So questions or comments from the council? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice, thank you. Mr. Clocher.
Last but not least, PW 2020-66, Blackberry Shore Lane Parking Restrictions. A motion to approve ordinance authorizing the Fifth Amendment. Wait, that's the wrong motion. Never mind. A motion to authorize staff to send letters to the surrounding property owners notifying them of the proposed restricted parking on the north side of Blackberry Shore Lane from Northern Lane to the point of 2900 west of Northern Lane and notifying them that the item will be discussed at an upcoming meeting.
Second. Second by Mr. Frieders. Questions or comments from the council? So we're sending out letters at this point. Mr. Frieders?
I'm thankful we're doing this now before it becomes even more of a problem. I don't know if you guys have driven over there behind Kohl's. Now that there aren't actual sports happening, you can kind of see how fast people are going anyway. So to be able to get those cars off the north side, I do know that I would be annoyed if I just bought an awesome house over there and I couldn't have my buddies park right in front of my house. But I'm a giver. So that's one thing. I think it's okay to actually have that parking be focused more on the south side because we got to make sure nobody's getting pushed over there. So thank you for doing this ahead of time.
Awesome. Great comments. Other comments? Since we're not spending money, oh, we still need a roll call because we're doing a Zoom meeting. Roll call, please.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Anything else, Mr. Clocher?
No, sir.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
How about an EDC report? I see nothing about chickens, but what do we have, Ms. Milshewski?
Well, we have an ordinance of authorizing a jurisdictional boundary line. So I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing a jurisdictional boundary line agreement between the United City of Yorkville and the Village of Plainfield and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Do I hear number two?
So moved.
Okay, there. Ooh, I was about ready to kill this thing. Holy cow. Okay, we have a motion and a second. A second by Mr. Plocher. Discussion? Christy, do you want to give just a brief high-level report?
Yes, this is an extension of the existing agreement that we have that is set to expire in January of 2021. We're seeking to continue that agreement with minor modifications for another 20 years to 2041. The Village of Plainfield has already approved this agreement at their November 16th Village Board meeting.
And Kathy has assured me she will be around in 20 years when this comes up for renewal. Questions or comments from the council? Roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Charulas?
Yes.
Panzer?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Anything else, Ms. Milshewski?
That's all. No chickens.
That's exciting.
Unless you're going to go to Popeyes.
I think I'm looking for goats. That's what I'm looking for, goats. Public Safety Committee report.
Yeah, don't
who would that be? Would that be Mr. Seaver? Seaver? Are you there, Seaver?
I'm here.
Do you want to do the public safety?
I make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the intergovernmental agreement between the United City of Yorkville and the Kensal County Circuit Clerk, electronic citation software Brazos, and to approve an agreement with KenCom for the purchase of additional Tyler New World products, and to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Mr. Frieders. Now this is exciting. This total is a little over $48,000 and approximately $22,000, just under $22,000, will be paid by the circuit clerk's office through their funding because it makes them more efficient too. And then there's a couple little devices that will help the zoning area, the community development when they're out looking at properties. So it's real exciting, and that's all I have. Mr. Jensen, do you have anything you want to add on this?
No, you pretty much said it all.
I said it all. I don't know if that's true or not. Mr. Frieders, please.
I think the one reason why this is a, yeah, we should probably do this, is because I know from my line of work, I sell drugs on a street corner with my family. If one person makes a mistake, and that mistake is copied by hand over and over and over again, not only does the mistake keep going, but it gets worse. So if we can remove duplicitous or redundant data entry by any means necessary, not only do we save all the labor involved in handwriting or hand typing something in potentially wrong, but we can rule out where some of these mistakes happen. Let's do that.
Thank you very much. Mr. Transier.
Could you answer about if any of the costs associated with this program is going to be passed on to those people actually receiving the tickets?
So, Mr. Transier, you sounded like Darth Vader there. Your voice was really distorted. I don't know if it's your microphone or not, but you're scaring the heck out of me. You're going to whip out a lightsaber? Can you try that one more time, please?
Whether or not the costs associated with this type of program can be passed on to those people receiving the traffic citation.
Bart, did you understand that?
I did, yes. He asked if the cost of the program could be passed on to people receiving traffic citations. And I believe we determined that answer is a portion of it can be as part of our administrative adjudication costs or fines.
Not so. There's already a portion of traffic citation fines that go towards e-citation that our city collects through the circuit clerk's office. So a portion of it's already doing that, Dan. We've been receiving that, or should have been receiving that for years now. So
it's a very good point. I remember discussing those at the county. I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Just saying thank you. I how you get a couple of these tickets early, so I might as well pay for the cost of an accident.
Thank you, Lord Vader. Okay, other aldermen have questions or comments. So I think this is going to be fantastic. It's going to save clerk time, like a couple of you pointed out. And Lynn, I know you're not on the council, but I just want to say to you, I saw Dave walk by a couple moments ago. Make sure you say hi to him for me, okay? Okay, we'll do a roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Panzer?
Yes.
Blocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. So, public safety, item number two, Seaver.
I make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the disposal of personal property owned by the city-owned police vehicles, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Mr. Peterson. Now, if you recall, the city council, you all approved raising the threshold to $5,000, and this, the estimated value just exceeds $5,000. That's why we're here. Any questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Panzer? Blocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
He's got that laying around like,
man, I'm just boring. I have a 5 and 7 year old boy. I must have six lightsabers lying around this house for everything.
Oh my God. Just don't say to me, Luke, I am your father. So, okay. So, well, now that we have to go into something serious, who more appropriate than Mr. Funkhauser to follow all the rules? Mr. Funkhauser, please go ahead with the admin report.
All right. Make a motion to approve the Treasurer's report for October 2020.
Second. By Milshewski. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Panzer?
Yes.
Blocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bond abatement ordinances. Make a motion to approve the ordinances abating taxes levied for the year 2020 to pay the principal and interest on the general obligation bonds and general obligation refunding bonds listed on the agendas as Administration Committee Report Number 2, Bond Abatement Ordinances Number A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Mr. Peterson. And just so everyone's clear on this, and particularly the press and the members of the public, what this is, when the bonds are passed, there's always the backup of property taxes if we fail to have enough revenues. Because we have enough revenues, and we have always had enough revenues to pay these, we need to do this so these bond payments are not levied on the property taxes. So this is a step that needs to be done every single year. Did I explain that correctly?
Yes.
Thank you. Questions or comments? This requires, oh wait, Mr. Plocher?
Yes, can we have Alderman Funkhauser read each individual one for clarification?
You're out of line.
Second.
You're both out of line. Or out of order, I'm sorry, out of order. But that's fair. Okay. No other comments or questions? We'll do a roll call, please.
Kushner?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yeah.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, special service area abatement ordinances. Make a motion to approve the ordinances abating the special service area taxes, approving the amended special tax rules for the special service areas listed on the agenda as Administration Committee Report Number 3, Special Service Abatement Ordinances Number A, B, C, D, and E, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second? Mr. Tarulis Seaver, thank you very much. Bart, I'll let you explain this one.
These are legally required abatement ordinances for the various primary active SSAs throughout town. In general, each abatement amount and what the ensuing SSA tax levy will be for each subdivision is included within a memo and a SSA report for each subdivision that's in the packet. There are no major issues this year in any of those subdivisions. The amounts of the increase in the SSA tax from year to year is generally between about 0.5% to 3.5%, which is an inflationary factor caused by debt service increases, which are normal from year to year, or minor fluctuations in property tax payments among the property tax payers in each subdivision. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take them.
No questions? Roll call, please.
Breeders?
Yeah.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve ordinance for the amended tax levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2021 and ending on April 30th, 2022. In and for special service area number 2004-201 Fox Hill, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Oh, I heard that, Mr. Frieders again.
Yes, sir.
You threw me there with your deep voice, though. Okay, these next two are very similar. This levies the taxes only on those properties that maintain their common areas, because that's something now that the city is in charge of. Is that?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. And again, same explanation for the next two, but we'll do them separately. Okay, any questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarullis?
Yes.
Transier?
Darth Vader?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
And the last one, make a motion to approve an ordinance for the amended tax levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2021 and ending on April 30th, 2022 in and for Special Service Area 2006-119 Sunflower Estates and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second. Second by Mr. Peters, I believe. Discussion? Roll call.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarullis?
Yes.
Transier? Closure?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Did Transier vote?
I didn't hear it.
I saw a head nod of yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Funkhauser?
That is it.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, Park Board. The Park Board met, and we actually will have a presentation that came through the Park Board. What did I miss? Oh, that was just Joel. Okay. So, again, the Park Board had a meeting, and we'll have a presentation at the December 8th Park or Council meeting. That came through the Park Board. Tim, anything else on that?
No, Mr. Mayor. I think the group will explain it at December 8th meeting.
Perfect, thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission, Christy, you stayed there the whole night. You've been nice and steady and stable. Anything else for us tonight?
No report.
Thank you very much. City Council report. Anyone, Mr. Funkhauser, Mr. Frieders, either one of you? Mr. Frieders.
I just wanted to give a shout out to my alderman friend, Ken Coke, and his family going through some stuff right now. I'm sorry for their loss. And I know he knows this, but I wanted to state it publicly for the record newspaper to remind Alderman Ken Coke that we love the hell out of him. We hope he's doing all right.
Thank you. That's an excellent comment. Mr. Funkhauser, do you have anything? Any update for your KenCom?
Yes, KenCom just had their executive board meeting. Even though there was a split vote on trying to remove the license plate readers from the budget, it was passed and approved. So the budget will include them. Now there is the process moving forward of soliciting RFQs and setting policies and procedures, I would assume, in order to implement that through KenCom.
Thank you. And Mr. Funkhauser, just remember, Chumbawamba. You get knocked down, but you get back up again.
He drinks a whiskey drink, he drinks a vodka drink.
City Clerk report. Lisa?
No report.
Awesome. Community liaison reports. Any others? No. Staff report. Any staff report?
No reports.
Okay, I have a couple things. One, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I appreciate you coming tonight. And I'm going to quote Winston Churchill. Got a lot going on, and everyone's just holding their breath for the spring. There's good news, hopefully, about the vaccines coming out. And what Winston Churchill said after the Battle of El Alamein, when Montgomery defeated Rommel in the desert, or as Churchill called it, the Battle of Egypt, he says, "Now this is not the end. It is not the beginning of the end. It is perhaps the end of the beginning." So everyone hang on tight. We're going to get through this, and these vaccines are going to come out, and everything's going to look a lot better come April and May. That's my prediction. So, do we have any budget updates?
There is a memo in the packet. It has some minor updates on a couple of the state revenues. The income tax is still tracking at the amount of the IML estimate that we had discussed 2 meetings ago. So that is good news, although I think that's probably a little unpredictable going forward. And the use tax, which is our online sales tax, is still trending 40% increase year over year. So a lot more people are shopping online statewide, and with our population increases hopefully coming from the census, next year we should continue to see increases in that revenue. So that's two pieces of good news.
Thank you. Questions on the budget update? And the Prairie Point building update, we pretty much covered that already, but that will stay on, as Bart said, that will stay on each meeting. Okay, I have no additional business. Are there any citizen comments in Zoom land?
Can I make a comment? This is Luke with the paper.
Who is that?
This is Luke Robinson with the paper.
Oh, yeah, you know, questions from the press. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lucas.
Well, I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say you all hold a very fun and lighthearted meeting, and I appreciate that in these trying times, and you all have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. And welcome to Yorkville. I don't know where you actually live, but welcome to Yorkville. We love having people here.
I live in Aurora, but thanks. Good to be here.
Awesome.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments? No need for executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn? Mr. Frieders.
Motion?
Is there a second?
Second
by Peterson. All in favor? Aye, yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Again, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy pandemic Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Everybody be safe.
Happy Thanksgiving.